Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited down for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. A hunting accident last weekend has Vermont Fish and Wildlife highlighting some important safety measures. To go over the incident and tell us how to stay safe while in the woods this year, this time of year, we're joined by Nicole Meyer. She is the Hunter Education Program Coordinator with Vermont Fish and Wildlife. Nicole, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So, Nicole, last weekend there was a rare hunter shooting accident in which somebody ended up in the hospital in critical care. What can you tell us about what happened?
So last weekend, it was early morning hours, so you can imagine it was like low light conditions. There were two hunting parties, and one gentleman was climbing into his tree stand in a really wooded area, and then a second hunter who was not part of his hunting party saw the movement of the hunter going into the tree stand and shot, and the hunter was rushed to intensive care at UVM, and I don't know too much more besides that, but I do also know that no one in the hunting parties were wearing Hunter Orange or Blaze Orange, which we highly recommend. And this is a really sad and also really rare incident. Luckily for us, this is very rare, but it just really underscores, you know, the importance of being safe while we're in the woods during hunting season.
Now, I want to ask, the Vermont Warden Service and troopers from the state police responded to the incident. Why is this being investigated by Fish and Wildlife and not police? Can you explain what goes into handing over an investigation to state police?
Yeah, so we are, the Vermont Warden Service is investigating this because one of the core job duties of our game wardens is investigating hunting-related shooting incidents. So anytime a shooting occurs within general hunting activity or in the woods, and it's an act related to hunting, our warden service does investigate that. And that's partially because they are really highly trained in the specifics of hunting related shooting incidents. They actually, many of our wardens actually go to a hunting related incident academy, which is a multi-day intensive academy where they learn from international instructors how to properly investigate these. So that's why our warden service is uniquely positioned to be able to do a really great, good, thorough investigation on this.
So do incidents ever get transferred or handed to police if the game warden finds out that there was foul play involved?
I think it would be handed over to state police if it was intentional rather than an incident, or if there was something more involved. But yes, I believe so. We do work really closely with Vermont State Police in a lot of these, and with local authorities in this. But in general, it's our game wardens when it's any kind of incidental shooting.
Thank you for clarifying that for us. And I want to talk about, all hunters are required to take a safety class before getting their first license. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure. So we do require hunter, bow hunter, and trapper education for everyone who's going to go afield to hunt. Our courses are backed by the standards that are international through the International Hunter Education Association. And in Vermont, we have some of the highest standards for hunter education in the world. We require anyone to take... We offer a lot of course types, but in general, the most popular way to take hunter education is to complete some kind of written or online homework, and then come to an in-person skills day where our instructors are teaching everything from safe firearms handling to conservation principles, to what to do if you come up to a warden, tree stand safety, how to blood trail, the basics of field dressing. We cover a lot in our courses, and those are generally around 8 hours in person with an instructor. Sometimes can be more than that. Some instructors do go above and beyond, and there's so much to learn and be taught. And these are all taught by our volunteer instructors who just teach these courses each year because they absolutely love it and believe in safe, ethical, and responsible hunting.
And in the hunter education class that you were just talking about, these volunteers teach basic rules. What are they? And from what you know of the incident that happened last weekend, were they followed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. We preach quite a few rules of firearm safety. Probably the four most common rules of firearm safety are: number one, to keep your finger off the trigger and out of the trigger guard until you're ready to shoot. Number two, to treat every firearm as if it's loaded. Number three, to keep your muzzle pointed in a safe direction at all times. And number four, know your target and what's beyond it. In the situation here, where we had that unfortunate hunting-related shooting, I would argue that the hunter who took that shot did not positively identify his target and what was beyond it, obviously, because he thought he was shooting at a game animal, at something that was legal to shoot at, and he wasn't. I would also argue that he didn't have his muzzle pointed in a safe direction. You only point your muzzle at something that you intend to shoot, or else you keep it pointed, you know, generally up to the sky or down to the ground or down range if you're on a shooting range, or considered safe directions. And I'd argue that he also wasn't pointing his muzzle in a safe direction. We also really preach that before you take any shot, you should be able to answer yes to three questions. Number one, is it a safe shot? Am I endangering myself or anyone else when I pull that trigger? Number two, is it a legal shot? Am I within the seasons and times and properly licensed to be able to take this shot? And number three, is it an ethical shot? You know, am I within my own personal limitations of being able to make a quick, clean kill, things like that? And I would argue that, you know, there were a lot of things that went into play here that went wrong. Perhaps it wasn't an ethical shot either, because it sounds like this was low light conditions. And although legal shooting hours are 1/2 hour before sunrise to 1/2 hour after sunset, you know, I think about what the light looks like at my house a 1/2 hour before sunrise, and I live right next to a mountain, and it's still really dark 1/2 hour before sun. Even at technical sunrise, it's still pretty dark, and I wouldn't take a shot at something, even though it was legal, because that just truly wouldn't be ethical. So I think that's another thing at play here.
Yeah. And neither of the hunters in last week's incident were wearing blaze orange. And for the listeners that don't know, blaze orange is that neon orange that we see hunters wear and they're supposed to wear, oftentimes on hats and vests. And that's according to your department, they weren't wearing that. It seems some hunters don't like to wear the orange. Is that because they're trying to stay camouflaged from animals?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. In general, blaze, we really preach wearing blaze orange, and that's because it's, you know, studies have shown that it's 7 times safer, 7 times brighter in the woods than just the general drab colors that we're generally going out in. I think, you know, one reason why hunters might not want to wear it is because there is this thought that because humans can see that blaze orange so well, they think that deer are going to be able to see it really well. And here's the thing is, human eyes and deer eyes are very, very different. We have a different amount of color receptors in our eyes as humans than deer do. And so they see a really different color spectrum than humans do. Where deer see that blaze orange color as more of a drab kind of brown mixing into those dead leaves. And there are some really great videos online and infographics online where you can actually see what a deer sees in the woods. A deer, their eyesight is mostly based on pattern and movement. So that blaze orange actually isn't going to bother them. For animals that we're going after, like grouse or waterfowl or turkeys, they do have a really keen color, eyesight for color. And so we wouldn't necessarily want to be wearing blaze orange when we're actively hunting those animals, but certainly when we're walking to and from our hunting spots, we want to be as visible to other humans as we possibly can be.
And I did watch one of the videos, and it talks about how sometimes hunters aren't wearing enough blaze orange. What is the appropriate amount? Is a hat or a vest enough, or should people be covered in it? Like, what should people know about what to wear?
Yeah, you know, in my opinion, I think that's real. It's really a personal choice, right? When we go out there hunting, we are all assuming a certain amount of risk when we go out hunting, especially when we're camouflaged and we know that there are other people walking around in the woods with guns. But really, for me, my key is I love to wear a blaze orange vest so that my whole torso, like chest and upper body, are really covered and really bright, and my head too. I like to have a blaze orange beanie or cap. I find that having a blaze orange beanie is really helpful because not only does it keep me warm, but it's a lot more surface area of orange than just a ball cap is. And, you know, just wearing a hat, you know, while that's better than no blaze orange, a lot of times when you're hiking into your hunting spot, you get hot and the first thing that comes off is that hat, right? So I highly suggest wearing at least a vest, and or a hat is really great too.
And what about for people that just enjoy being in the outdoors, the non-hunters that are walking in the woods, should they be wearing this blaze orange as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We highly suggest that anyone who's out in the woods during hunting seasons especially should be wearing blaze orange. And that goes for dogs too. It's a really great idea. And I also just like to say, like, I wear blaze orange. I'm a little bit of a nerd, but I wear blaze orange really year round. When I'm hiking, I do wear a blaze orange hat a lot. And that's because if you're in some kind of accident or survival situation where you get lost or turned around or you fall and get injured on the trail, and you know, you have an article of blaze orange, whether it's hunting season or not, you are a lot more visible to rescuers and first responders too. I also have something blaze orange in my car generally in case, you know, something happens, I get into a car accident or something, so that people can see me and where I am. So I don't want to instill any fear in non-hunters either, because it's extremely rare for us to have a hunting-related shooting incident that involves a hunter and a non-hunter. And in fact, I was checking back in our records and I couldn't go back far enough to see when there had been a hunting-related shooting incident with a hunter and a non-hunter in Vermont. That's very rare. And it's extremely rare that something like this would happen where it was two unrelated hunting parties that were involved in an incident. I mean, this was just really like a calamity of error. Like, all of the things went wrong in this situation. And it's very rare that we see something like this happen. So the woods are certainly not closed during hunting season. You can absolutely still use them. Just, you know, we just want everyone to be as safe as possible.
Do you have those numbers on hand by chance to tell our listeners to depict how rare this is?
Yeah, I mean, so since 2008, Vermont averages less than 3 hunting-related shooting incidents per year. And the vast majority of I don't know if I would say vast majority, but the majority of those are really self-inflicted. So a hunter walking through the woods accidentally shoots themselves in the foot, right? That's a very sad, tragic thing. And honestly, it's something that could have been prevented, but at least it's not something that's occurring between two different people, and it's really not serious. In Vermont, we're lucky enough that we have very low hunting-related shooting incident rates. when you consider there's something like 80,000 hunters are hunting in Vermont each year, for us to average less than 3 incidents is really spectacular. And I really attribute that to the stellar work of our volunteer instructors who are teaching safe hunting, you know, every single day. In fact, in 2021, despite really high rates of hunting participation, in 2021, Vermont saw 0 hunting-related shooting incidents. So that's not the first time. We also had 0 hunting-related shooting incidents in 2014 and 2012. And between there, I mean, our last hunting-related shooting incident that was really serious and resulted in a fatality was in 2011. I think my bottom line here is that hunting is safe and it's always getting safer, and it only gets safer when we talk about it more and how we can be safe more.
That's Nicole Meyer, the Hunter Education Program Coordinator with the Vermont Department of Fish and Wildlife. Nicole, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me. Hunt safe, wear orange.